Ladies and gentlemen, it's 9:30, May 7th. We're in room 414 of the Capitol Building of Pierce, South Dakota. This is the meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission. We call that meeting to order. First item on our agenda, well, I should say, first of all, my name is Gary Hansen, and with me is Commissioner Feagin, and on the phone is Commissioner Nelson. We will check the phones in a second. The first thing I would like to do is congratulate a very special person who works for the Public Utilities Commission, who keeps our lives squared away and makes certain we're going where we're supposed to go and everything's operating. And she was working this morning trying to make certain that we got rid of echoes and that the phone system was working. It's interesting, the Public Utilities Commission has a history of challenges with our telephones. I don't know why that is, but in the 10 years that I've been here, it seems like we've had lots more challenges than we should. Well, this morning, I'd like to congratulate a young lady who's been with the commission for 15 years, excuse me, with the state for 15 years, with the commission a little bit longer. She wasn't aware that we were going to do this, but give it up for Sherry. Sherry, I'd like to present you with a 15-year pin. We're in good health, and thank you very much for everything that you've done for us over the years. We're now officially going city. I'll check the phone lines real quick here, if I may. Chris, Commissioner Nelson, are you still with us?
I am still here, Gary, but you are very faint. I don't know if it's on my end or your end.
I think it's because I walked the steps.
I'm hearing the same.
As am I.
As am I.
As am I.
Let's see. I don't want to press the mute portion.
I could hear all the other participants very, very well, so I'm thinking maybe you just need to up the output.
That's what Sherry is doing, and that's
yeah,
what
sound much better.
Is that better?
How's that?
Great for me.
Everyone else here, all right?
That's a little better.
Yep.
Yvette LaFrance, are you here?
Yes, I'm present.
Mike Uda. Mr. Uda, do you have your mute on? Tim Olson?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Mike.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Uda, was that you? Forgive me, I asked two names there. Mike Uda, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Tim Olson?
Yes, I am, and I'm here with Lou LaFave.
Thank you. Al Brogan?
Yes, I am, Chairman.
Jim Wilcox?
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Carrie Rozelle?
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Bill Hunt?
Here, Mr. Chairman.
And Wayne Johnson?
Here, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else on the line that I should have called? If not, good morning. The first item up on our agenda is administration approval of minutes of the commission meeting held on April 9th and April 23rd, 2013. Is there a motion for approval?
Mr. Chairman, move to approve.
Thank you. Are there any additions, deletions, or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The minutes are approved. Consumer reports, status report on consumer utility inquiries and complaints received by the commission. Ms. Gregg.
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. The commission received a total of 70 contacts since the last report was prepared for the April 23, 2013 commission meeting. 14 of the contacts involved telecommunication service, 18 of the contacts involved electric service, 3 contacts involved natural gas service, 7 contacts involved cell phone service, 16 contacts related to the Do Not Call registry, 2 contacts related to One Call, and 10 contacts related to issues not regulated by the PUC. 616 of the 655 complaints received in 2013 have been resolved.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of Ms. Gregg?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Commissioner Feagin.
At our last hearing, we talked, certainly we talked about XL Energy and the experience we all had. And then we talked about having them come and do a report and maybe even have some public input or whatever. And then we also talked at that meeting later about energy efficiency and having a program, and we talked about media. I don't know if we can do that in Sioux Falls on the same day, and I don't know where you're at. And, Deb, if you're in charge of scheduling that or not, it was just an idea. If we're going to do both in Sioux Falls, it would be nice if...
Well, I will check with Patty Van Gerpen and Leah Moore and see where we're at with that.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Wilcox is on the phone, and I did chat with him about making that presentation. I don't believe anyone's discussed a time at this juncture, but yes, we are going to do that. Mr. Uda, are you receiving a strong echo from us?
I am, Mr. Chairman.
Are you on a cell phone or a headset or a speaker, or do you have the web on?
I am using a cell phone. I apologize for that. I really didn't have an alternative. They're working on the phone system in my building today.
Okay, we hear you very well. Apparently, you're having
You're not, Mr. Chairman. You're not echoing now.
Okay, it's a trick voice I have.
Well done, sir.
The first item, first docket on our agenda this morning is docket EL-11-006 in the matter of the complaint by Oak Tree Energy, LLC, against Northwestern Energy for refusing to enter into a purchase power agreement. At our last meeting, the commission ruled on several issues for reconsideration. However, we did not make final decisions on some of those reconsiderations. The commission did vote unanimously to deny reconsideration of its decision with respect to use of a 20% capacity factor in calculating avoided cost. Forgive me, I found myself reading a little fast there. Sherry is a court reporter this morning, and will be typing, so if anyone is reading, please slow down just a smidgen. The first question that is before the commission is, what is the appropriate date for commencement of escalation of voided capacity cost? A majority of the commission voted to reconsider the decision with respect to whether escalation of avoided capacity cost should commence prior to 2015, but the commission did not take a substantive action on the proper capacity escalation commencement date. We've gone through all of the testimony, and we are at a point of commissioner's discussion and action. Obviously, commissioners may ask questions of anyone they wish, and we do have some parties in the audience representing Oak Tree this morning as well. So we are to the point of commission action on what is the appropriate date for commencement of escalation of avoided capacity cost.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Nelson, I believe Greg Rizlov has a packet of handouts that I've put together, and the first of those addresses this issue. Would it be appropriate for him to hand that out at this point?
Yes, thank you. And
as soon as those are distributed, let me know, and then I've got a motion.
Those are being handed out at this time. Go ahead with your motion.
I would move that on this particular issue that capacity costs remain at $36 for 2013 and 2014 and then begin escalating at the 5.84% per year. And the handout, there are four sheets. The top sheet is the one that addresses this particular issue only and would show the change to the costs with this change only, so that that everybody's fully informed as to what that change would do.
So your motion is to set a date
that we begin escalating in 2015.
Thank you. There's quite a bit of other information on here, so I didn't want to take a multiple.
Right, and that is on this top sheet, the only variable that has changed is when we began escalating capacity.
Thank you.
And I think, you know, my reasoning for that, I think it's pretty evident that the testimony was that there were capacity costs that were locked in through 2014, and so it's only right that we begin escalating that in 2015.
Any further discussion on this motion?
Commissioner
Feagin, excuse me for interrupting.
When we relooked at everything, I believe 2015 is the date that we should start escalating. And although Commissioner Nelson has it in a formula and looks at it, it's just the right date, regardless if you look at the formula or not. Thank you.
I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you for your comments. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
And Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. The second item before us is that the Commission voted unanimously to reconsider the decision to use 2.25% load growth factor in the avoided cost calculation model and deferred that decision to this meeting. So the question before the Commission is 2.25% per annum an appropriate load growth factor for use in calculating avoided energy costs, and if not, what is the appropriate load growth factor? Discussion on that question.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Nelson, if I might.
Please, go ahead.
The next three sheets in the packet address this particular issue, and I want to say both to Northwestern and to Brian Rounds, the discussion that we had at last week's, or the meeting 2 weeks ago, as to how the 1% and the 2.25% actually appropriately would fit into the model that we were using was very, very helpful to me and helped me understand why what I had done originally was not correct in inflating everything at 2.25%. And so what I did after that particular meeting is took the Northwestern load shape blocks, those 20 blocks that we've been talking about throughout this endeavor, and utilize the two parameters that we talked about 2 weeks ago, the fact that the peak was only going to inflate at 1% per year, but the total energy sales was going to go up at 2.25% per year. And so using those parameters, I had to allocate those energy sales into this this spreadsheet. And in doing that, obviously if you're going to constrain your peak growth to 1%, that's going to mean that at some of those lower usage blocks you're going to get something greater than 2.25% in order to have a total energy sales growth of 2.25%. And so I ended up using a factor that I applied to each of these load blocks to allocate those energy sales. And I'm not going to go into the factor in detail. Certainly, if we approve this, I will send the spreadsheet out to everybody so you can look at the factors and look at the arithmetic behind it. But I think maybe the most useful is if you turn to the sheet that has the graph on it, and this is just a very simple graph of the 10 load blocks in the summertime and how they change utilizing this methodology. And you'll notice the bottom line is 2013, which is a fairly straight line. But by 2035, the shape of the line changes and it flattens. And I think that's what we talked about 2 weeks ago, is the fact that over the course of time, the anticipation was that the load shape was going to, in fact, flatten as the peak only went up 1%, but the total energy sales went up 2.25%. And so that's the methodology that I used to correct what Northwestern appropriately identified as an error when we made our original motion, or I made my original motion.
Interestingly, at the same time that I was doing this, apparently Mr. Rounds was working on the same question and utilized a little different methodology that he's filed in the docket, a little different methodology in how to spread out the 2.25% sales. I guess I would argue that my methodology may be more accurate because it, in fact, flattens the load growth or flattens the load curve more than what his does. But at the end of the day, 20 years from now, he may be right, I might be right. And I think the difference between the two of us and the levelized cost is less than a dollar. So we're in the same ballpark and we're using the same methodology. So having said all that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we do in fact change the methodology that we used for calculating load and peak growth, utilizing a load growth of 2.25% per year, peak growth of 1% per year, in the fashion that I have provided in these spreadsheets. And on the second sheet in your packet, then, we'll show how that, in fact, impacts the costs for the energy and capacity.
Commissioner Feagin. Excuse me. Could I make a clarification first? Commissioner Nelson, you said that and 1% peak load growth and a 2.25% energy load growth, which I wholeheartedly concur, that's what I was going to support, but you said in the fashion that you prepared in the sheets. Now, in the infinitesimally unlikely situation that one of your sheets has a number incorrect, can we just simply say the 1% peak load growth and a 2.25% energy load growth?
I don't believe so, because that's the same numbers that Brian Rounds has used in his document, but because of the way he allocates the 2.25% compared to what I've done in allocating, he comes up with a different answer. And again, the allocation method that I used, and frankly, if you go to my third sheet, the one that is the large spreadsheet that shows the load blocks, and you go to the very bottom line, and this is a line that you didn't see on this spreadsheet 2 weeks ago, it's the line that says growth. And that shows the percentage growth for each of those load blocks. And if you'd have looked at that line, and if we'd have had that line on there 2 weeks ago, it would have said 2.25% for every one of those load blocks. Well, as you can see, we've now flattened that and have the 1% growth for the peak, and obviously the lower use blocks are greater than 2.25%, that summer B10 load block at 2.75%, in order to arrive at the 2.25% average. I think if you look at Brian Rounds's spreadsheet, his percentage numbers across the bottom are going to be a little bit different because he's allocated differently, and that's why I did specify that we would utilize this particular allocation.
All right. I don't have Mr. Rounds' sheet in front of me, but thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Rounds, he put that into the docket, I think, last week.
Thank you. Commissioner Feagin, did you have something?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and fellow Commissioner Nelson. It has been a very interesting docket for all of us, and I think Commissioner Nelson has said it has been one of his favorite dockets, and it has been fun to go into staff person Rounds' spreadsheets and manipulate it, because we have all kind of looked at that and manipulated our own ways of looking at Mr. Rounds' spreadsheets. At the end of the day, there's a couple things that I really want to look at, and I'm going to support the staff's position on levelized cost, because I believe levelized cost has a discount factor, and we need to do that. And Commissioner Nelson's, it appears to me, has an average instead of a levelized cost. He has an average cost and doesn't consider a discount factor. And a discount factor certainly is important to our ratepayers, because we don't want our ratepayers really loaning out free money. or not are loaning without receiving any interest. So we want to make sure we look at the time value of money there. There's another factor that why I support the staff's position, and some of it is we want to be able to analyze the formulas. And I spent quite a bit of time on Brian Rounds' formulas to figure it out, make sure I understood it, make sure the numbers were right, and et cetera. And Commissioner Nelson, you are commended because it is so close to the staff's numbers that we could really go with either. But today I can see the formulas of the staff. I can figure them out. I can analyze them and make sure they're correct. And that's why I support the staff's actually recommendation. So at some time I will have a substitute motion, Commissioner Hansen.
Commissioner, if I might respond to that.
Yes, you may.
I guess two things. First of all, the issue of whether we go with levelized or non-levelized, that is the next question that we're going to be dealing with. And so I would not want to bring that into the question of whether we use the Rounds model or my model, because certainly you can apply a levelized to my model. There's no question about that. So that in my mind is a separate question. So far as, again, the methodology that I use, and I think maybe it would be good if Brian could talk about how he allocated the energy. My understanding is he just simply allocated that 2.25% equally across the load blocks, and he's got a graph that shows that each of the lines increases at an equal rate, whereas my understanding 2 weeks ago is we were agreeing that the blocks and the load shape was going to in fact flatten over time, and I think the methodology that I've used in fact shows that flattening of the load curve, which is I think what we agreed was ultimately going to happen.
Thank you. And as I'm viewing your proposal and comparing it with Mr. Rounds, it appears that yours is more generous on the percentages. Is that correct?
Yeah, and let me just explain how I arrived at the factor that I used to increase each load block. Obviously, the peak load blocks were going to go up at 1%. That's what we agreed on. And then if you look at, and I'm looking at the third row that says Northwest into IPIC 2011, where we've got the 1%, and then the different percentages. And what I did is I took a 1 minus, calculation. And so for block B3, for example, I took 1 minus 0.915. to come up with the percentage of allocation that would go into that block. And if you go down to block B10, which is kind of on the other end of the spectrum, I took 1 minus 0.443 to come up with the percentage of the allocation that would go into that particular block. And utilizing that methodology, obviously it forces more of those energy sales into those lower use blocks, and you obviously see that reflected in the bottom line of total growth. And so that's the methodology, right or wrong, that's the methodology that I used to allocate those. And when I got done and did the graphs represented what I think we had talked about 2 weeks ago of actually seeing that shape flatten as opposed to remaining steady.
Thank you. Any further discussion? We have a motion before us. Any questions, clarifications that staff feels they need to make? If not, Commissioner Feagin. This is on the vote, excuse me. We've had our discussion. We have a motion.
So I am moving a substitute motion.
Oh, all right. You have the floor.
So I am moving a substitute motion on the formula of the 1% and the 2.25 on the staff's formula that is on, what, attachment Exhibit A at the bottom.
Is that correct, Mr. Rounds? Do you know if that's the correct one? It just sounded like you were asking a question.
Can you repeat that, please?
So I'm making a substitute motion of looking, approving the staff model of a 1% peak and the 2.25 energy growth load shape, which is on Exhibit A at the bottom. Is that correct?
Yes.
I mean, when I have looked at this, and I can't see Commissioner Nelson's because I can't see the formulas, but, you know, he has done just a great job, too, but I can't analyze the formulas, and I can analyze the staffs. And I think at the end of the day, they're very, very close. And when you get to see the numbers and when you get to manipulate them, I am more comfortable at the end of the day on something that I can see.
Make some very good points. Commissioner Nelson, did you have any response to that?
No, I think I've said what I need to on this particular issue. I think, you know, let me say, and just to reiterate, I think at the end of the day, Brian and I ended up using the same methodology to incorporate both the reality of the 1% peak and the 2.25%, and that's really the important part of this. Whether we use Mr. Rounds' methodology for allocating the 2.25 or mine, again, the difference is going to be less than a dollar, but we've really, the two of us agree on the important change.
And I would agree, Commissioner Nelson, you are absolutely right. You guys are so close, but in our fact-based information on an order, we can absolutely put the formula in there in our fact-based information and have already seen it before we vote.
And I will say that probably is my error in not having filed that with the docket so that it would have been public information beforehand. I know I had a conversation with staff and about filing it, assuming it was approved. But I should have done that ahead of time in the docket, and I apologize for that.
And, of course, Commissioner Nelson, I would need a couple days to analyze it. Thank you.
And that's what I'm attempting to do at this time. Appreciate all of the work that you went to, Commissioner Nelson, and recognizing that I'm a swing vote on this. I was wholeheartedly ready to support Commissioner Nelson's proposal, and Commissioner Feagin may have swung my position with the...
Could you tell my husband that?
This is on the vote, Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye on the staff.
This is on the substitute motion by Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye in the substitute motion for the staff information.
Commissioner Nelson.
Nay.
Commissioner Hansen votes yes. Motion carries. Which brings us to the third issue, that the commission voted unanimously to reconsider the decision regarding use of levelized avoided cost without inclusion of a discount factor, but to defer the final action on the appropriate resolution of the issue until this meeting. The question before the commission is, therefore, should the commission approve the use of actual avoided cost values instead of levelized avoided costs, or should the commission approve the inclusion of a discount factor in its levelized avoided cost calculation, or should the commission approve the non-discounted levelized avoided cost approach as approved in the commission's decision? And since there's three options, hopefully the three of us won't have different
options. Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Feagin.
I would move that we approve the staff 1% peak and the 2.25% energy growth, which they have on Exhibit B at the bottom, with a discount factor of 7.86.
We have a motion before us So you are having a levelized avoided cost calculation based on what we have arrived at with an inclusion of a discount factor of 7.86 as opposed to having actual, as opposed to having...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we could certainly look at an annual cost and try to get that actual as much as we can, but I believe a levelized cost with a discount factor is probably more fair for this project.
Mr. Chairman, if I might weigh in on this.
Please.
I'm going to oppose the motion, and I think that's no surprise based on my comments last week. I would support using the actual annual cost as opposed to a levelized. And I want to enumerate three what I consider pretty strong reasons for doing this. The first is this docket has been all about variables. I mean, we just got done talking about a few of those many variables. Going with a levelized rate adds one more variable, one more guess, that being the appropriate discount rate, into the formulas, and one more area where we could, in fact, err. And by going with the actual annual rates as opposed to the levelized, we eliminate that variable, and we give ourselves and both the developer and the company a better chance of coming up with, at the end of the day, an accurate payment schedule. The second thing that I would mention is, and Northwestern has throughout this proceeding made this very, very clear, these dollars that we're going to approve, the price that we're going to approve today is a pass-through to their customers, our constituents, people we work for. And by going with a levelized cost, we're going to force their customers to pay more within the next year or two than they would have to. We're going to force them to pay more than what that electricity is actually worth. I think that's wrong. It's going to have a real impact on the bills that Northwestern customers pay just a year or two down the line than what they would have to if we went with the actual costs. Now realize that's going to be made up 20 years from now, and so there's going to be some Northwestern customer 20 years from now that's going to be saying, by golly, I'm getting my electricity cheaper today because there were people 20 years ago that for whatever reason paid more. But I'm concerned about what our electric bills are today. And the third reason that I would oppose this motion, would prefer to go with the actuals, comes from the recommendation of Brian Rounds. And that's simply the fact that this eliminates the risk of Oak Tree non-performance. Now, I don't think anybody thinks that's going to happen, but in the business world, it's a reality. Sometimes one party or the other doesn't perform. And the last thing I'd like to say, and I'd simply like to read from Brian Rounds' original recommendation, because I think he was right, and I think it's pretty strong. And he says, however, using a levelized cost places a lot of risk on Northwestern Energy. They pay in excess of the avoided cost for the first 10 years and make it up over the last 10 years. If Oak Tree Energy were unable to provide energy throughout the contract for some reason, Northwestern Energy ratepayers would be left holding the bill. Thus, I would advise using the annual avoided costs. Unquote. And I think he was right. And for those three reasons, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to oppose the motion at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Nelson. Any further discussion on the motion? I believe we're all quite concerned with ratepayers and with risk and the challenges. In reviewing this, one of my main concerns was certainly the challenge to the utility company and the effect on the ratepayers. My concern also is with the fact of whether or not we are being completely fair up front with the the distributed generator, in this case the wind capacity. And I think there is a very strong argument for making certain that they have the ability to obtain financing. And I don't wish to do an injustice to a business that is attempting to provide a very important service, and recognizing the situation that we have before us, that it will create a somewhat of a guideline for the future. I do wish to provide for a constant payment so that the financing is, there is an ability to obtain financing. And for that reason, I'll be supporting the motion. Any further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman Hansen.
Commissioner Feagin.
Mr. and Chairman. You know, first of all, I appreciate that we came back and reconsidered this, because I think we really needed to do that. When we voted on the levelized cost about a month or two ago, I voted no. And it was certainly because the reason of the ratepayers and the taxpayers, and there were several reasons I voted no and was a dissenting vote. But, you know, when we came back and reconsidered, we are now reconsidering the time value of money. And I believe that puts the ratepayers in front and makes sure that we care about them and that we consider the time value of money when we're dealing with that, so they're not giving interest-free loan out to the developers. So I believe today we have looked out for the ratepayers. I mean, actual, it's never going to be completely actual. It's a forecast, but it looks good and it sounds good. But when you look at PURPA, and that's why we're here today, because of the qualified facility, I think levelized with the discount factor is more fair.
Further discussion on the motion?
Commissioner Nelson, I think the only other thing I would say, since Commissioner Feagin mentioned PURPA, it's my understanding that either methodology is legally appropriate, and at that point, I think then all the factors that the three of us have talked about come into play as to which we prefer, and I'm not going to, you know, spend any more time on it, but I think either methodology would be legally appropriate.
Thank you. This is on the Feagin motion. Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Nay.
Hansen votes yes. The motion carries. This brings us to, and may I just comment that I know that the three of us worked very hard on, and staff worked extremely hard on all of the calculations on this last docket. It was a lengthy docket because it was an extremely important one, and it set precedents, and to an extent, and gives some direction to the future, although commissions do change and facts do occasionally change. I would just like to say thank you to everyone who participated in this. It was a lot of work. And Mr. Smith doesn't want it to end. He wants to ask a question.
Thank you, and it's probably because I am not a spreadsheet expert by any means, but I'm assuming with the motions that have been approved, we'd pretty much be looking then at the staff calculations. Is that correct?
Correct.
I have one question on that, and the commission has now voted to begin escalating in 2015. When I look at the numbers, it looks like it doesn't begin until 2016. And I'm just wondering if that's something that should be examined by staff as to whether that really, that escalation should first occur in 2015.
Can we ask that question of Northwestern, what they originally had asked in their reconsideration filing?
Northwestern?
Blue or Al Brogan?
Mr. Smith, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer this one to Blue because he's more familiar with the contract than I am. Blue, could you respond?
The contract was good through the end of 2015.
Thank you. The next docket, does that answer the questions? I believe it does. Mr. Brown? Brian? Mr. Brian?
Thank you. I'm wondering if at least the language in your motion needs to be edited, just because I think when the motion was given, we had said begin escalating in 2015. Really what we're saying is begin escalating after 2015. So to the extent that you need to make a note of that, I don't know, Mr. Smith.
I don't think that would be a bad idea if that's what the commission intends.
Commissioner Pagan.
At the end of 2015, but I can't remember.
Commissioner,
that motion was early.
Commissioner Pagan is making a motion to reconsider the first motion, which provided for the process to begin on 2015 and to state instead as a secondary motion, as a double motion, that the date for commencement of escalation for avoided capacity cost will begin at the end of 2015.
I would prefer after.
After 2015.
Delete
is
end,
that your
insert after.
Is that your motion?
Correct.
Thank you. Commissioner Nelson, do you have any questions on that?
Well, I do, because that wasn't my understanding, but I may have misinterpreted, and I'm just pulling up Northwestern's application for reconsideration right now. If you just give me a moment.
Certainly. Blue, is that the correct verbiage?
I can't tell you exactly what the verbiage is in the motion for reconsideration, but I do know the contract is good until the end of 2015.
Thank you. Mr. Nelson is
searching. Yeah, I'm looking at Northwestern's application, and it says it criticizes the commission for beginning escalating the cost in 2014 instead of 2015. I'm looking at the bottom of page 4 of their application for reconsideration. I don't know, Brian. Are you looking at this? Am I off or?
This is Brian. You're correct. I'm Blue.
I don't have the like I said. I don't have the stuff in front of me. That's very possible. But I do know what I can tell you is the contract's good through the end of 2015. So if we filed it to start escalating in 2015, we probably did it in there.
Yeah, now I'm looking a little further down on the document on page 7, and it talks about, again, beginning escalation in 2015. So I guess I based on the application of Northwestern, I would not be inclined to make any additional change at this point.
Commissioner Nelson?
Yes.
If no change was made, the model would have to be rerun, though. Is that correct?
Brian would have to speak to that because it's his model that we're using at this point.
Yes, it's a pretty easy rerun.
Okay, so you in your model, you began the escalation in 2016?
Yeah, same as your model, actually.
That's interesting. The uh, Northwestern Energy's application for reconsideration of the findings and conclusions dated February 21, 2013 does show on page 4 that the commission should not have begun escalation of the capacity cost until 2015. And then on page 7, it does state that beginning the escalation of capacity costs in 2015 and applying a discount rate of 7.86%. However, all of the models that we have that and the one that we approved all show 2016. So I'm
Mr. Chairman, may I be heard? This is Al Brogan.
Who's speaking, please?
This is Al Brogan.
Mr. Brogan, go ahead.
I think the confusion is the terminology to some extent. I think the concept of beginning in 2015 means that you take the 2015 rate and apply it to have the 2016. In other words, you start the escalation in 2015 so that you have a new rate as of January 1, 2016. And I think that's consistent with all of the models. If you weren't going to begin the escalation until 2016, you wouldn't have an escalated rate until 2017. So I think we're probably getting on opposite sides of the timing of the equation. At least as I recall having written that, that was how we discussed it and at least how I thought it was supposed to be interpreted.
And this is Commissioner Nelson, and that may well be the case. I'm looking at my model, and I have the same value for 2012, 2013, 2014, and then in 2015, it escalates, and then obviously continues each year thereafter. And, Brian, that's what you've got in your model also?
Correct.
Okay, so is that accurate?
Commissioner Nelson, this is Blue Lefebvre. I didn't know if you were asking of me or who you were asking.
Yeah, probably. Thanks.
Well, the way the contract that the price is based on has that value that's in through the end of 2015. So the first escalated price should be the price for capacity for 2016. So you would start escalating the value from 2015 to 2016. In other words, you should have a flat price through the end of whatever capacity you're looking at through 2015. 2016, you should have that new escalated number, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm following what you're saying. So, in other words, your capacity cost was locked in for 13, 14, and 15.
Correct.
Then I would concur that we would have to, in fact, change, Brian's model .
Commissioner Nelson?
Yes.
His model does have it that way, and so does yours.
Well, mine shows it actually escalating in 2015, but as long as Brian is comfortable that we're accurately reflecting in his model, because at this point mine's irrelevant, as long as it's accurately reflecting in his model, I'm good.
I'm going to look for counsel Mr. Smith to wordsmith.
Well, I think the motion, if what we're talking about is I think what I'm hearing from the commissioners is I think the motion that's on the table probably gets us there. If you wanted to, I mean, I think the discussion we've had is going to explain it, but if you wanted to add something, you could add something like after 2015 by applying the escalation factor to the 2015 value, which will kick in at the beginning of 2016.
I think that would probably be good because that, based on Northwestern's application, that was not my understanding. I took their application at face value, and I thought it said that we need to start escalating in 2015. So if we've established that that's not the case, then I'm okay with that type of a change in the motion.
Thank you, John, for that clarification. Commissioner Feagin, is that in line with the motion?
That's what I meant to say, and it really looks like all the models are doing that anyway. Appears to me anyway, how I'm looking at them.
Exactly. Thank you. So we are...
Commissioner Hanson, if you don't mind,
Mr.
I have just like 2 minutes to double-check my model so that we don't ask to reconsider this again next week.
Please go ahead and enjoy.
Only 2 minutes. That's fast.
Commissioner will be at ease. I didn't move this to the end because I didn't think it would take long.
I've had a chance. If
commission will come to order,
the numbers in the model as I had filed assume basically that the capacity is held. Capacity price begins escalating after 2015.
Thank you. Are the commissioners ready for the vote on the reconsideration?
It's a double.
Yes, it's a double motion. It will reconsider and change it. Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hanson votes aye. The motion carries. The next item on our agenda is Electric Docket EL13-008. Mr. Wilcox, you're on the phone. Can you hear us all right?
I can, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, this is Jim Wilcox.
I'm just checking to see if you could hear us all right before.
I can.
I'll give you a second here.
Thank you.
EL13-008, in the matter of the filing of Northern States Power Company doing business as XL Energy for approval of its 2012 economic development activities and 2013 budget. The question before the commission is, shall the commission approve XL Energy's 2012 revised economic development report and its 2013 economic development plan? Mr. Wilcox.
And Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, this is Jim Wilcox appearing on behalf of XL Energy. We're here today seeking approval of our annual compliance report of economic development. The company respectfully requests approval, and I'll just stand by for questions.
Thank you. Mr. Carney, is this yours?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman. This is Darren Carney for staff. On March 29th, 2013, XL Energy filed with the commission its report on the 2012 actual economic development activities as well as their proposed budget for 2013. The commission, through a decision and order, approved the recovery of economic development expenses in docket EL92-016, which allows up to $100,000 of economic development expenses to be equally paid by shareholders and ratepayers, $50,000 paid for by shareholders, and $50,000 recovered from ratepayers. In 2012, XL spent the entire $100,000 budget that was approved by the commission in docket EL12-0228. Staff would like to point out there were some slight deviations from the 2012 budget where Less money was provided to Minnehaha County Economic Development Association than initially budgeted. That equated to the amount of $3,000 less, the balance of which was made up by providing more funding to Lincoln County Economic Development Association and the South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry Giant Vision sponsorship. The money that was provided, the additional money that was provided to the Industry Giant Vision sponsorship was for the 2013 sponsorship, and that was paid in November of 2012. So I guess I'd like to point out to Excel that they won't be able to include that sponsorship expense again in the 2013 actual expense report. This time, I guess staff would just recommend approval of the 2012 actual budget based on the fact that all the dollars were spent on economic development activities. And then staff would also approve the 2013 budget as it is consistent with past budgets. I'm available for any questions. Thanks.
Thank you. Are there any questions by the commission? I would.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have a question of Excel. First of all, thank you for investing in our communities, and we certainly appreciate that. And we also appreciate that there is no staff cost, that you are actually going directly to economic development. I do have a question on your rural areas, because you certainly serve a lot of rural areas, and it looks like you allocate, I think, $20,000 to that venue. Some of them appear to me, just as a commissioner, that some of the value of economic development is stronger in some communities than others. Like in Lenox, which is nearly my hometown, the money is spent on signs. In a couple different communities, one of them is more of a park, or really the enhancement of your community on having more type of entertainment, and then there's a library, I believe, in another one. How do you evaluate the factor of economic development sign versus things that people can use?
Commissioner, that's a very good question. Over the years, you know, we wish to support our rural communities with economic development investments, and I've developed a philosophy that economic development in those rural communities is what they think it is. And so if they think that a sign will enhance their economic development in the future going forward, then that's how I would view it too. And so that in my mind is an acceptable investment, because it's something that they want and they believe it's economic development. That's how I think of it.
Thank you. Certainly we look at this as ratepayers' money, and we just want to make sure that we have some evaluation and not just what the community thinks, but we maybe have a little bit guidance and making sure the value for the ratepayers' money is used the way that will most benefit that company or that community.
Thank you. And Mr. Wilcox, in your opinion, when you and you have a real strong background in economic development, I know that you're president of the Forward Sioux Falls and worked with the chamber for many, many years. In your opinion, is all of the monies, are all of the monies that are being provided for economic development to the economic development organizations, is all of it being used for economic development purposes?
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, it's related to the previous question. You know, what's economic development in Sioux Falls, in my mind, is a little bit different than what maybe economic development in a smaller community. Certainly, the Sioux Falls Development Foundation, Forward Sioux Falls, Minnehaha County Economic Development Association, Lincoln County Economic Development Association are probably a little more strongly thought of as pure economic development, where they are seeking to attract business or cause startup of new business or retention of existing business. They're a little more organized in their efforts, and so, you know, those are more pure economic development. Again, the rural economic development programs, they're a couple of people, you know, working as volunteers in a small community, trying to make their town better, trying to find ways to grow their community. And so we want, I've always felt like we want to support them in whatever way we can, but certainly they're less organized than the bigger efforts in Minnehaha County, Lincoln County, and the Sioux Falls Development Foundation.
Yes, that's why I asked if, in your opinion, if it was. I appreciate your answer, though. Any further questions? Is there a motion? I will move that in EL 13-008, the Commission approve Xcel Energy's 2012 Revised Economic Development Report and its 2013 Economic Development Plan. Discussion on the motion?
Just so I reiterate, I do support economic development in rural areas. I don't want to be on record that I don't support that. I just want to evaluate the value. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion on the motion? Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. That brings us to our natural gas docket. NG 12-008, in the matter of the application of Montana Dakota Utilities Company for authority to increase its natural gas rates. Question before the commission is, shall a commission grant the withdrawal filed by the federal executive agencies? Mr. Stephenson, is this yours? Oh, Ms. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kristen Edwards for staff. Staff has no objection to the withdrawal and recommends that the withdrawal of the federal executive agencies be granted.
Thank you. MDU, did you have anything that you wish to... Looks like you're winning here. Is there anything you wish to say? Oh, Mr. Kennecke.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners.
You always have something to say.
Very little. We also support the withdrawal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kennecke. Any discussion? Excuse me, is there a motion? I will move that in NG 12-008 that the commission grant the withdrawal filed by the federal executive agencies. Any discussion? Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Forgive me, I saw Mr. Stephenson's name and Brittany Melhoff's name there, and I forgot this was more of a legal issue. Telecommunications docket, TC 12-129, in the matter of the filing by Sage Telecom Incorporated for approval of its South Dakota Intrastate Access Services Tariff. Before I go further, Mr. Rosell, can you hear us all right?
I sure can.
The question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the revised tariff sheets with an effective date of August 27th, 2012, I believe? Mr. Rosell?
Yeah, Kerry Rosell is here to represent Sage Telecom to answer any questions that anybody may have.
Thank you. Mr. Rounds?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Brian Rounds for staff. The major update in this tariff is the VoIP provisions, and we would just recommend approval.
Thank you. Are there any questions by the commission? Ms. Wiest.
Yes, for Mr. Rosell. I noticed that in your VoIP sections, 2.23.2, you referenced that you're an FCC interstate tariff for South Dakota. Does Sage actually have a South Dakota interstate tariff yet?
Yeah, actually, I was looking at that myself, and I think that the answer is no. First of all, the company will add the rates to its FCC tariff as it begins to roll out service. So I imagine that would be something we would make in a very soon to be filed FCC tariff.
So prior to offering services, you will have that in place. Is that correct?
Correct. That's correct.
And my second question is then, do you intend on filing further revisions to bring your rates down to the interstate levels by July 1st?
Right. Correct. Yeah, the timing of this is interesting because very soon we will be filing to bring those terminating rates down to the rate of the of the interstate tariff. So an FCC tariff will be filed for that will include South Dakota operations. That will obviously match the ILEC. And then at the beginning of July, then intrastate revisions will also be filed to match the interstate rates.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Any further questions by the commissioners? Is there a motion?
I will move in TC-12-129 that the commission approve the revised tariff sheets.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Feagin.
I don't know. Do we need to clarify at all that this does not go into effect until?
No, I think it. Okay. I think it's fine the way it is.
Great. Perfect. Thank you.
Commissioner Feagin?
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries. Docket TC-13-029 in the matter of the filing by Budget Prepay Incorporating doing business as Budget Phone to withdraw its access services tariff number 3. Question before the commission is, shall the commission grant Budget Pay Incorporated's request to withdraw its competitive access provider services tariff number 3? Is there anyone opposed to this? Mr. Jacobson?
Thank you, Chairman. This is Dave Jacobson from Commission staff. The company is requesting withdrawal because they are not providing access service this time.
Thank you. Any questions by the Commission? If not, is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, in TC-13-029, move that the Commission grant Budget Prepaid Incorporated the request to withdraw its competitive access provider service tariff number 3.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Feagin.
Feagin votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. Docket TC-13-030. Mr. Wayne Johnson, are you able to hear us all right?
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. I'm able to hear you just fine.
And Mr. Hunt? Are you able to hear us all right?
Yes, I am, sir.
Thank you. TC-13-030 in the matter of the filing for approval of a service performance amendment to an interconnection agreement between Quest Corporation doing business as CenturyLink QC and DishNet Wireline LLC, formerly known as Liberty Bell LLC. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve the amendment to the interconnection agreement? Who wishes to be up first? Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Chairman Hansen. Wayne Johnson on behalf of CenturyLink. Commissioners, if there are no questions on this, CenturyLink would simply ask for your approval.
And Mr. Hunt?
Yeah, DishNet would ask the same.
Thank you. Ms. Kramer.
Thank you. This is Karen Kramer of staff. The amendment was properly filed, properly executed, and does not appear to contain discriminatory provisions. No comments were filed. Therefore, staff recommends the commission approve the amendment.
Thank you. At this time, we'll turn to commission questions. And I think we're curious why Quest, what the purpose is and the rationale for the change of, I did not write my entire question down on my notes here. I see that if Quest fails to meet parity and benchmark standards on an aggregate CLC basis, Quest is required to make Tier 2 payments to a fund administered by the Commission. I'm looking at a variety of different items here, and my notes are from Ms. Wiest, so if Ms. Wiest would like to phrase the question better than I.
Yeah, I was just wondering, what is the purpose of excluding these transactions involving resale products from PID performance results and from PAP payment calculations?
This is Wayne Johnson for CenturyLink. I'm not real familiar with this, but my understanding is that DishNet, the offerings that they offer are different from others, and they have an impact on these. And I believe if we've got the gentleman from DishNet on, he might be able to explain that a little better than I.
Sure. This is kind of a fixing an unintended consequence. When we initially sign up all of our customers with CenturyLink, they go on a resale platform. And after 90 days, we roll them off of resale onto our bundled network elements network. And so you actually kind of have a second conversion that goes there. And as a result of that and the size of our base and stuff, it's created some issues with CenturyLink and the trouble tickets, and it's kind of skewed all these PAP numbers. So CenturyLink asked us to look at reworking that part of the contract, and we had some other issues that we wanted to get resolved as well, so we just worked it out.
So have any other commissions approved this particular amendment?
You would be the first that's come up. Nobody's rejected it. I mean, the number of states haven't really looked at them. Utah has acknowledged it. That's all they do with respect to some of these agreements. So they're all working through the process right now.
So they have been filed in all the other states?
They've been filed where they need to be filed, yes.
And that wouldn't be all of the other Quest states?
I defer to Mr. Johnson. They filed. I don't want to say in which states they filed which agreements. The agreements.
For me, I handle Iowa and South Dakota, and so those are the only filings that I'm aware of. Due to the impacts of this, though, I would say our company is looking to do this in every place that DishNet operates.
And this is just based on the particular way that DishNet operates?
That's correct. It's their business model is different from others that avail themselves of these wholesale products.
Quest is not looking to put these types of amendments in all their other CLEC interconnection agreements?
No, that is strictly with the DishNet model.
Because my concern is like their impact on your PID performance results. I mean, those can impact other CLECs, and then it could impact any payments to the commission too. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But this would be to try to ensure that it doesn't have a result that really wasn't, I guess, considered by those PID performance?
This was not anticipated in how the original PID-PAP performance measures were set up.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I know we don't have any interveners on this, but I see Mr. Coit in the audience, and he doesn't, he's shaking his head. I'm still a bit confused on this. Not totally comfortable with it, but I'll turn to my fellow commissioners if they have any questions.
If the commission would like, I mean, you could just defer it to the next commission meeting, and then maybe we could check with some of the other state commissions to see if they had any concerns about it. I mean, I do understand the rationale a little bit better now.
I'd like to do that. I'm not completely settled on this. Commissioners, do you have any comments at this juncture? I would ask to defer this to our next meeting, at least, if there isn't an objection from the other commissioners.
No objection.
I agree.
Thank you. TC-13-030 will be deferred till the next commission meeting.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Next item is TC-13-031 in the matter of the filing by AT&T Corporation for approval of revisions to its access services and network interconnection services tariff. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve AT&T Corporation's tariff changes? Is this Mr. Carney's?
Yep, I'll take this one. Thanks, Mr. Chair. This is Darren Carney for staff. Change was just administrative in nature, where AT&T did a general housekeeping of their tariff, and
replaced a more specific language that refers to AT&T's FCC tariff with the generic general language that says the company's FCC tariff. So I would just recommend approval as filed. Thanks.
Thank you. Questions by the commissioners? Is there a motion?
I move in TC 13031, the commission approve AT&T Corp's tariff changes.
Thank you. Discussion on the motion. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Motion carries. TC 13-032 in the matter of the filing by TC Systems Incorporated for approval of revisions to its access service tariff. Question before the commission is, shall the commission approve TC Systems Incorporated's tariff changes? Mr. Carney.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Darren Carney for staff again, and this was the same changes in the prior docket. Just TC Systems was replaced with more generic language. The company, I would recommend approval as filed.
Thank you. Questions by the commission? Is there a motion? I will move in TC 13-032 that the commission approve TC System Incorporated's tariff changes. Discussion on the motion? Commissioner Fegan?
Fegan passes.
Commissioner Nelson?
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. The motion carries.
Fegan votes aye at the end.
Excuse me. Forgive me. I didn't realize.
I just wanted to see what it was like to vote last.
I thought you were recusing yourself. I thought you had an interest.
Could you just start getting used to that? Because I like voting last.
I thought you had an interest in TC Systems. I thought there's going to be a problem here. Great. Announcements. The next regularly scheduled commission meeting will be Tuesday, May 21st, 2013 at 1 p.m. in room 413 of the State Capitol Building. In Pierre, the PUC offices will be closed Monday, May 27th in observance of Memorial Day. Commission meetings are scheduled for June 4th and June 18th of 2013. Remind everyone that there is a South Dakota Retirement, the SDRS, South Dakota Retirement System, SDRS, board position that's up for election, and you should vote for your favorite person involved there. And I won't mention anyone by the name of Patrick Stephenson, who's with the PUC, who's running for that. Any further announcements at this time?
Move to adjourn.
Commissioner Nelson.
Aye.
Hansen votes aye. Commissioner Fegan.
Fegan votes aye. I love voting.
Motion carries.